Wonderful to see you this morning. Such a beautiful day. Beautiful smiles on everybody's face. It's good. All right. If you have a Bible, please turn it to the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 13. And please join me in prayer. Father, thank you again for your love, for your power, for your grace, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, that you care about us so much, and that you want what is best for us. And I pray that this morning you would help us by the power of your Holy Spirit to have an understanding of your love and your will for our lives, to understand what your word says this morning, Lord. We look to you and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, we all gave a hand clap for Pastor Joshua. The reason why we gave a hand clap is because we thought, Pastor Joshua, he looks smart. Every Sunday, he's here with a tie. Looks good. Amen? In fact, I feel like giving another hand clap, but I won't. I won't because Pastor Josh will be upset with me on the way home. We all thought, we think he looks smart, and a lot of us, we care about how we look, right? Some of us, maybe more than others. But all of us, when we get up in the morning and we're preparing ourselves, usually there's something that each one of us, we do something. We look at this thing, it's called a mirror. How many of you looked at a mirror this morning? At least once, okay, most. How many of you girls looked twice, three times, four times, 10 times? But sometimes in the morning, I neglect to look in the mirror. I'm very busy. And sometimes my wife will say to me, that's Lynn, that's my wife, dear, sweetheart, she calls me these things, maybe you should go look in the mirror. There's a problem here. Go look in the mirror. She sees she's embarrassed to be with me if I'm not looking smart. She's the reason why, if I look smart, that's why. It's because of her. But all of us look in the mirror. We all care about what we look on the outside. At least most of us do. And this morning in chapter 13, we're going to see that it is important to look in the mirror, not just physically. Important to look in the mirror, not just physically, but spiritually. Examining ourselves. That's what you do when you look in the mirror, right? Oh, how's my hair? Do I have anything on my face? Examining ourselves physically. And we all do that. Everybody does that. But this morning we're going to learn the importance of examining ourselves spiritually. Examining ourselves, it says in chapter 13, we'll read in a few moments, to see whether we are in the faith. Whether we are in Jesus Christ. Whether we have a relationship with Him. Amen? Did you know that is the most important thing that we can have in the world? In this life, the most important thing we can have is a relationship, a friendship with Jesus Christ. Do you agree with that this morning? Many of you do. Some maybe you don't. But this morning we're going to examine ourselves and it may not be a pleasant experience. In fact, this last week was our midterm examinations for the Bible college. I know that many of you, the school just let out yesterday. You're out, you're on a holiday, you're happy. But you know, before the school lets out, you have to do something. You have to take an examination, an exam, right? This past week, we had exams at least in my class. Mine was a bit early. It was a pop quiz. No, it wasn't. But we had an examination. And most of the students, when they hear about it, they come in, they're smiling, they're happy. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then I tell them examination today, and immediately the faces, it turns from smile to frown. A what? No. Say it isn't true. Most of us, we don't like exams. Amen. By the way, most of you Bible college students, you did great. You did good. You passed. Most of us, we don't like an exam. We don't like to let people know what we know and how we are doing and what it's like on the inside, right? And this morning we're going to see that even if we may not like it, maybe we go away from this place saying, I didn't like that message, but I know it's something I need to hear. But it's my prayer that we would go away and we would go home and we would examine ourselves. Not physically, but spiritually. How we are walking with the Lord. Let's read together in chapter 13, beginning in verse 1. This will be the third time I am coming to you. By the way, this is the Apostle Paul. He is writing a letter to the church that was at Corinth. And he's been having some trouble in the last two chapters. I don't know if you remember. Last three, actually. Having some trouble. And he's saying, this will be the third time I am coming to you. He's planning a trip to visit. And by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word shall be established. I have told you before and foretell as if I were present the second time. And now being absent, I write to those who have sinned before. And to all the rest, that if I come again, I will not spare. Since you seek proof, a proof of Christ speaking in me, who is not weak toward you, but mighty in you. For though he was crucified in weakness, yet he lives by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God toward you. And in verse 5 he says, examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless indeed you are disqualified. But I trust that you will know that we are not disqualified. Let's stop there. In this passage, in this letter that the Apostle Paul is writing, he's writing with words that are hard words. Stern. If any of you had fathers growing up, you did something wrong, and your father would come to you and he would speak to you very clearly, very forcefully. Amen? You shouldn't have done that. Bad, bad, bad. Like a father. And Paul is actually doing sort of the same thing in this letter. He's writing to them and he's saying, I was there before and I had trouble. In fact, his second visit to Corinth, he had a great deal of trouble. False teachers were saying that Paul was just a wannabe. Do you know what a wannabe is? A want-to-be. It's a term we use in America. It means you want to be really neat and cool. But really, you're not. And you call him a wannabe. Okay. Paul, they said, is a wannabe. He just wants to be an apostle, but he's really not. Saying things like that. And there was sin there in the church. A lot of sin. Sexual immorality. And different divisions and problems they had. And Paul is here writing in this chapter, and he's saying, I'm coming to you a third time, and by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word will be established. There was a problem there in the church. And sometimes I'm afraid in our lives, mine too, I'm together with you, in our lives there can be problems, right? There can be issues that we have that we're not willing to deal with. We're not willing to confront these problems. We're not willing to remove these problems or let Christ remove them. And Paul can be, just as easily as he was writing to Corinth, he can be writing to dear Pastor Brian, dear Calvary Chapel, Kampala. Or wherever we are. What he's going to say is this. In the main verse here in this passage is to examine ourselves. Self-examination. To examine ourselves. To see whether we are in the faith. And then really the question we can ask ourselves this morning that he is really confronting them with. Is this question. Is Christ in me? That's the question this morning, okay? We can all ask it. Is Christ in me? The Bible says, in fact, in the book of Revelation, Jesus says himself, I'm standing at the door and I'm knocking. If anyone will hear my voice and will open the door, I will come into him and dine with him. Is what Jesus said. The promise is that God himself will dwell in us. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We sang in one of the songs. And Christ is said to be indwelling believers, individually and also as a church body. So the question we have to ask, the most important question that I've already mentioned, Is Christ in me? You can ask yourself. I'm asking myself. Is Christ in me? I think we can see three things in these first six verses that will prove whether Christ is in us or not. Okay? Prove whether Christ is in us or not. Verse 1, the testimony. The testimony. By the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word will be established. The testimony of those who know you can reveal your relationship with Christ. Did you know that? How many of you have friends? How many of you don't have any friends? A few. If I keep talking about Josh this way, I'm not going to have any friends. People around us, people that we spend time with, people who know us. And the people who know us the best, my wife knows me the best. The people who know us the best will be able to give a testimony of what we are like, right? If you want to know what I'm like, you can ask Lynn, my wife. You can ask Josh. He knows what I'm like. You can ask the people who know me, because the people who know me will be able to give a testimony of what I am like, what kind of person I am. Do you know what kind of person I am? Some of you do. Some of you only see me on Sunday morning. I'm just the guy who stands up here and talks for 45 minutes. But to know what I'm like, to know what you're like, you can ask the people around you. The people around you will be able to give testimony about your character. How's Pastor Brian? Oh, he's bad. He looks good on Sunday, but really he's bad. I know him. You see, people can give testimony. And what do people think about you? You know, some people, they're never going to like you, no matter if you're good or bad. Amen? Some people just don't like you. But your friends, the people who know you the best, what would they say about you if they were asked? What could they testify about my life? What could they testify about your life? And Paul is saying, I can give you the testimony, three testimonies, because he was going there the third time. And also the people who were with him. He knew what the church in Corinth was like. It was not good. There was problems. The testimony of those who know us can reveal our relationship with Christ. The life that you live can reveal whether you have a relationship with Christ or not. Did you hear that? The life that you live, the life that I live can reveal whether we have a relationship with Christ or not. You believe that? A person who is living a lifestyle of sin, a good chance is that he doesn't have or she doesn't have a relationship with Christ. That Christ is not in them. The Bible says this in 1 John chapter 3, verse 9. Whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God. Then all of us this morning, when we read that verse, we think, wait a minute, I've sinned before. Maybe I'm not born of God. Well, what that's speaking of is a continual practice of sin in our lives. Every day we are doing the same sins, same problems. A lifestyle. Do you know what a lifestyle is? It's how you live, what you love, what you enjoy, what you do. And some of us, we have a lifestyle of godliness, but occasionally we fall into sin, right? Let's be honest. That's why in the same book of the Bible, 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Nobody is without sin. And so our lifestyle is that of godliness, and occasionally we fall into sin, we stumble, we're tempted. But then we come back. What this is talking about is if your lifestyle is of sin and occasionally you act godly. Does that make sense? Sunday, you are godly. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, you are not. Okay? That was my life. Did you know that? Before I was really saved, I went to church every Sunday. Every Sunday, I went to church in the town that I lived in with my parents. My parents made me go to church with them in secondary school. I was in high school. And I would sit there and I would sing the songs. I would listen to the sermon that was being taught. But as soon as I was out of church, I would go with my friends and I would do the things that I wanted to do. I would live a lifestyle of sin. And that is a good indication, it was at least in my life, that I did not have a genuine relationship with Christ. Because listen to this. Actions speak louder than words. Actions speak louder than words. I can shout at the top of my, the loudest I can shout, I love Jesus. I have Christ in me. But if at the same time I'm lying to everybody around me, I'm stealing, I'm getting drunk, I'm doing these things, which one are you going to believe, my words or my actions? Actions speak louder than words. Your life can demonstrate whether Christ is in you or not. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 5, and you know that he was manifest, that's Jesus, he came to earth to take away our sins. And in him there is no sin. Whoever abides in him does not sin. That means doesn't live a lifestyle of sin, like we talked about. Whoever sins has neither seen him nor known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. The Bible says this, whoever lives a lifestyle of sin doesn't know Jesus, even if they're a pastor. And our life, who we are when nobody is watching, who we are when the brothers and sisters are gone away, who we are in everyday life can determine whether we have a genuine relationship with Christ or not, living for him daily. Self-examination is a good way to tell if we have a true relationship with Christ. And that's in verse 5, examine yourself as to whether you are in the faith. One man named A.W. Tozer, he was a godly man from Canada, and he gave 7 ways in which we can examine ourselves. 7 ways in which we can examine our lives to see whether we have a true relationship with Christ. They're written here in your notes. First of all, he said, what do we want the most? What do we want the most? Everybody wants something, right? Many people want sente. Sente means money in Luganda, right? Money is a thing that a lot of people want. Power, authority is something that a lot of people want, right? Girlfriends, something that a lot of guys want. Boyfriends, something a lot of girls want. Those things are not bad to have. But is that the thing that we want and everything else kind of serves that, right? What do we want? What do we think about the most? What do we think about the most? Good questions to ask ourselves. How do we use our money? One evangelist said, I can tell you the quickest way that you can tell whether someone has a relationship with Christ is by looking at their checkbook, looking at their bank statement. Well, how do we use our money? Is a good question to ask. What do we do with our leisure time? Whenever I read this, I get convicted, though. Let's skip over that one. What do we do when we have nothing else to do? We're just relaxing. Those of you who are students, now you're in the holiday, you're just, what are you going to do? Do with our leisure time. By the way, I'm not perfect. I'm not preaching to you. We're kind of all in this together. All right? The company that we enjoy. What are our friends like? You know, before I was a Christian, I used to do a lot of terrible things, drugs and alcohol and all of those things. And the people that were with me, I always liked to be with people who did the same thing that I did, right? One time I remember I had an instructor came to me and he was telling me, you know, those guys you're with, they're doing so many bad things. I said, yeah, I know, those guys. They're smoking marijuana. Yeah, I know. They're always drinking. Yeah, that's terrible. I know, those guys. He says, you're always with those guys. And then you know what he said to me? He said, Brian, birds of a feather flock together. You know what that means? Birds of a feather flock together. Where I'm from, the birds, they migrate to the south and north, depending on the weather. And you look up in the sky, and there's this bird called a goose. They all fly together. They're called geese. You don't see 10 geese and a Malibu stork. Birds of a feather, they flock together. You know what he was saying to me? If those guys are smoking marijuana, that means you're smoking marijuana. He was right. The company that we keep. What are our friends like? Our relationships like? The fellowship that we have. Who and what do we admire? Do you know what the word admire means? Who do we want to be like? I want to be like Pastor Josh. I want to get one of his ties and put it on. Come to church. Seriously, though, there are a lot of, they call them in the world, idols. Right? Pop stars. Singers, musicians, movie stars, actors, actresses. Politicians, maybe. People who have done well in this world. Who do we want to be like? That's a good question to ask ourselves, to examine our heart, to examine ourselves. What we laugh at. Oh, what type of jokes do we find funny? And so these are good questions for self-discovery. Examining ourselves. Have you ever looked in a microscope? One of those things that they use at the lab, the doctors. You can look in there and it just gives you an examination of the thing you're looking at. A close look. Let's take a closer look at our heart. Amen. Take a closer look. And he asks the question in verse 5, test yourselves, he says, do you not know yourselves? And that's the question we have this morning. Do you know who you are? Do you know what you look like? We should. I was thinking about this morning, and these guys have been painting upstairs. Painting. They have this long pole with a brush or with a roller on it. They put it in the paint, and they paint the ceiling. Looks nice, by the way. You can go up after service and have a look up there. So they're painting, and I'm working up there, and these guys, when they roll up on the ceiling, the paint drops down onto their face, onto their clothes. Okay? So by the end of the day, he started off Mutagabu. At the end of the day, he's Mzungu. Because so much of the paint has fallen on him. And you know what I know what he's going to do? He's going to go home after he gets off of work, and he's going to clean himself. He's going to wash himself, right? He's going to examine himself and his face, and he's going to wash it. But what if he did this? What if he never examined himself? He just walked out onto the street and he started walking around and he never examined himself, he never cleaned himself, he never looked at himself in the mirror. Can you imagine how foolish that person would be? Walking around with paint in his hair, in his face, on his clothes. No one would do that. But I'm afraid many times that spiritually we have gotten some paint on our heart. Some sin. Some dirt from this world. You know, this world we live in is dirty. It is full of trash. Full of dirt, rubbish. And when we walk around in this world, Jesus said the same thing, we get dirty. Some of the things that are out there start to affect us. And that's the reason why it's good to examine ourselves, is because we need to wash ourselves every once in a while. Amen? Every day wouldn't be bad. Examining our lives, examining our hearts, asking ourselves how we are doing. Paul asked the question, do you know yourselves? One man said, he said, know thyself. If I knew myself, I'd run away. Because we're bad on the inside. And so examining ourselves, and this morning I hope we can go away with at least this, at least the desire within ourselves to check, to test ourselves, not for any physical problem, but for a spiritual problem. Test ourselves to see whether we are in the faith. Because there's going to be a final exam when Jesus comes back. And if we haven't been cramming, if we haven't been testing ourselves, examining ourselves, we'll fail the test. Test ourselves to see whether we're in the faith. In verse 7, Paul is continuing his letter to this church, the wayward church. Now I pray to God that you do no evil. Not that we should appear approved, but that you should do what is honorable, though we may seem disqualified. For we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. For we are glad when we are weak, and you are strong. And this also we pray, that you may be made complete. Therefore I write these things, being absent, lest being present, I should use sharpness according to the authority which the Lord has given me for edification and not for destruction. And so Paul is continuing on about the problem that they were experiencing, the problem of sin. With a room of this size, I'm sure there is someone in here who is struggling with sin. Something you're doing, you know you shouldn't do it, but you're doing it. And Paul is saying this, I pray to God that you do no evil. That is his heart. That is the heart of the Lord, that we would not do evil. That is what Paul is saying here, and he says, not that we should appear approved, but that you should do what is honorable, even though we may seem disqualified. Do you know what he's saying? He's saying, my greatest heart for you, my greatest desire for you, is that you do what is right, even if it makes me look foolish. That's what Paul is saying. Even if it's not so I can be approved. You see, because if the church there was doing good, then people could say, oh, Paul, your ministry is so great. Look how godly the people are. He's saying, no, not so I can be approved. I want you to be doing good. Because he knew that was the heart of the Lord. Even if we may seem disqualified, even if it makes us look bad. Do you know what I prayed this morning? I always pray before I get up to teach, because I'm always afraid. Did you know that? I'm always a bit nervous when I get up, because I think, what am I going to say? And I always pray, Lord, even if I look foolish, even if I say something stupid, which I often do, even if I look foolish, I just pray that your word would go out anyway and people's lives would be changed anyway. And that is the greatest heart that we can have, is one for those people around us to be doing well. His words were serious. In verse 10, therefore I write these things, being absent, lest when I am being present, I should use sharpness according to the authority which the Lord has given me for edification. And what he was really saying is this, this is a serious matter. And we like to laugh, we like to have a good time, but sometimes there are things that need to be dealt with. And Paul is saying, I don't want to come there and have to use the authority that the Lord has given me. The Apostle Paul had apostolic authority. That's why he was used by God to write much of the New Testament. And he had the authority to go to that church and to say, you guys are bad, you guys are wrong, and to really be like a judge. And he wanted them to know that this is a serious thing. It's no laughing matter. And some of us, I'm afraid, we have something in our lives, there's something we are doing, and we haven't been taking it serious enough. Sin is deadly. It's like poison. And the wages of sin is death. And the best thing that we can do with sin in our life is to extract it. Remove it. Get rid of it. Confess it to the Lord, as it says in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, and he will forgive it and cleanse it. Do you want to be clean this morning? You want to be clean of that sin that you've held on to? Confess it to the Lord. Are you weak this morning? Do you not have the strength to give up that sin? That was me. Give it to the Lord. It doesn't say, and then he will teach you how to cleanse it. It says, he will cleanse it. He will do the work by his Holy Spirit. The Bible says this, it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to do for his good pleasure. God will give us the desire to give up the sin, and he will give us the power to forsake the sin. That's a promise. And finally, in verses 11 to the end, finally, brethren, farewell. Become complete. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints greet you. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. As Paul is closing his letter to this church at Corinth, he closes on a good note. This has been a tough chapter, chapter 13, examining ourselves, sin in our lives, something that we need to deal with, and we need to do that. But at the end of this letter, he is sending them his final farewell. And he says, finally, brethren, farewell, become complete, be of good comfort, of one mind, live in peace. But that word farewell could better be translated rejoice. Do you know what it means to rejoice? Rejoicing. Joy is what that word is in there. Joy. Rejoicing. It means you like it. You're happy. You feel good. The Bible says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Amen? The Bible says this. Psalm chapter 16, verse 11. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. You hear what it says about the Lord? And God wants to speak to us this morning. First of all, He wants us to examine ourselves monthly, weekly, daily. Examine our lives to see if there's anything wicked. Secondly, He wants us to confess our sin. Whatever it is, there are many sins. Whatever it is that is you're hanging on to, you're holding on to, He wants us to confess that and He will cleanse us of that. And finally this morning, He wants us to rejoice. God isn't up there like an angry father. God wants us to be happy. Did you know that? He wants us to have fullness of joy. And the Bible says, in His presence is fullness of joy. And people in this world are looking for joy every place except for in the presence of God. And this might be a letdown to you, but there is no other place in the world that you can find joy except for in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Right at His right hand are pleasures forevermore. And Paul closes, verse 14, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We worship one God in three persons. And Paul is giving his final farewell. God will be with us. We can rejoice. But He wants us to examine ourselves. Amen? He wants us to examine ourselves to see whether we're in the faith. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we thank You so much for Your Word. Thank You, Lord, that You love us. You don't hate us. You're not angry with us, Lord. You just want what is best for us. And I pray this morning that we as a church fellowship would be able to examine our hearts, Lord, by the help of Your Holy Spirit. And that we would be able to forsake, to turn from any sin that we find there. Help us, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.